Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The ninth station of the cross. Within the cathedral, we leave the scene of the wailing women of Jerusalem and move on to the ninth station. Jesus has passed through the gate of Ephraim, and now the road is steep, for he is at the foot of Golgotha. And he has fallen again.
We adore thee, O Christ, and we bless thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. Consider the third fall of Jesus Christ. His weakness was extreme, and the cruelty of his executioners excessive, who tried to hasten his steps when he had scarcely strength to move. By the merit of the weakness thou didst suffer in going to Calvary, give me strength to conquer all human respect and all my wicked passions which have led me to despise thy friendship.
Now, among the crowds, looking upon the fallen Christ, was one who rejoiced exceedingly. The one was not a man, but a presence that was unseen, but somehow felt by many. For it had the ability to project dark thoughts, which would lurk and ferment in the minds of men. And this presence was well known to Jesus, for he had found it waiting in the form of a man when he came out of the wilderness after 40 days.
Here he comes. I must know who he is for sure. But more, I must find out if he knows who he is and who I am. If he's the one, he'll give an unmistakable sign. 40 days without food. Yes, he will be hungry.
Hail, Rabbi. Thou art Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, yes, though you don't know me, I know something about you. But before we talk, why don't you eat something? Look, these stones are the size and shape of bread loaves. Wasn't it written that when the Hebrews were tested in the wilderness, their prophet asked for bread, and it was rain from heaven? Jesus, if thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread.
It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.
And then the tempter took Jesus into the holy city and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple.
Look below. See the people. Now you could amaze them and hold them in the hollow of your hand by a simple act and without danger to yourself. If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down. For it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
It is written further, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Ah, I know the passage well. It runs on to say that thou mayest possess the goodly land concerning which the Lord swore to thy fathers. But now, if you will come with me to the mountaintop, I'll show you something even greater, which can be yours. Look out upon the world, beyond the far horizon. See vista upon vista unrolling before you. The world which is now and is to become. Cities bursting with people. Ships carrying riches from all parts of the world. Fields of grain and mountains covered with forests. To thee will I give all this power and their glory. For to me they have been delivered, and to whomever I will give them. Therefore, if thou wilt worship me, the whole will be thine.
Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve.
From this moment began the contest between Jesus and Satan for the whole world and the souls of all the people. Then Satan left Jesus for a while, but he vowed he would come back, which Satan did, testing Jesus' power by sending devils into men, and was greatly angered when Jesus drove them out. And there came a time when Jesus knew that Satan had sown an evil seed in the mind of one of the disciples. It was after the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus had crossed over to Capernaum, and Judas had witnessed great deeds, and his mind was full of questions and plans.
Here was his chance, the like of which will never come again. A miracle of loaves and fishes. The people shouting he was their king, the Messiah. And he turns his back and walks away from it. Doesn't he realize that all he has to do is to fill their stomachs with bread and they'll follow him anywhere? Still, he may have a plan of his own. Now that he's shown his power to the people, he'll reveal it to the temple, for the scribes are now waiting to question him.
Jesus, we last saw you on the other side of the lake, and you fed many people. Rabbi, when didst thou come here?
Amen, amen, I say to you. You seek me, not because you have seen signs, but because you have eaten of the loaves and have been filled.
true, we were hungry, and saw no reason why we should not partake of the food.
Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for that which endures unto life everlasting, which the Son of Man will give you. For upon him the Father, God himself, has set his seal.
What are we to do that we may perform the works of God?
This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.
What sign then dost thou, that we may see and believe thee? What work dost thou perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, even as it is written, bread from heaven he gave them to eat.
Amen, amen, I say to you. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
Lord, give us always this bread.
I am the bread of life.
I don't understand.
He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I have told you that you have seen me, and you do not believe. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and him who comes to me I will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, the Father, that I should lose nothing of what he has given me, but that I should raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father who sent me, that whoever beholds the Son and believes in him shall have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
Is not this man the son of Joseph, the carpenter of Nazareth? How then does he say, I have come down from heaven?
Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day.
How do we know these things?
It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has listened to the Father and has learned comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except him who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you. He who believes in me has everlasting life.
Our fathers ate bread from Moses. What work dost thou?
Who art thou?
It's a sign.
Who?
Art thou greater than Moses? What sign dost thou show?
I am the bread of life.
What kind of talk?
So you keep saying, but it has no meaning to us.
Your fathers ate the manna in the desert and have died.
Do not men die of age?
This is the bread that has come down from heaven, so that if anyone eat of it, will not die.
Give us then this bread.
Give us this bread.
Let us eat this bread.
I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give you is my flesh for the life of the world.
He's mad! What? Wait, be quiet. Bear witness to what he has said. I ask of you, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?
Yes. How?
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 Amen, amen, I say to you. Unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, You shall not have life in you. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread that has come down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and died.
This is hard saying. Who can listen to it?
Not I. Let us go.
Does this scandalize you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some among you who do not believe. This is why I have said to you, no one can come to me unless he is enabled to do so by my Father.
And many, muttering that it was a hard saying, that men must eat his flesh and drink his blood to abide with Jesus, turned their backs on him, and from that day followed him no more. And Jesus, after they had left, turned to the 12 and spoke.
Do you also wish to go away?
Lord, to whom shall we go?
Thou hast the words of everlasting life. We have come to believe and to know that thou art the Christ, the Son of God.
Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil.
One a devil? How can he say it? Who? Who? When he himself so carefully selected all of us. This is another time he's shown lack of judgment. Someone with a knowledge of the world will have to give this mission some direction, or everything will be lost. If only I knew who was the devil among us, I could be on my guard.
And unknown to himself, for the tempter had planted the seed of darkness in the innermost mind, Judas began to separate himself from the other disciples and from Jesus. He began to look with suspicion upon them, for he knew Jesus could not have had him in mind when he said one of them was a devil. And because he was suspicious of others, he began to act in a suspicious manner himself, and to say things which in his heart he did not believe. Like that time at Bethany, when the woman came with the ointment and poured it over Jesus.
Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?
Judas,
why do you trouble the woman? She has done me a good turn. For the poor you have always with you, but you do not always have me. For in pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it for my burial.
No, Master.
Amen, I say to you, wherever in the whole world this gospel is preached, this also that she has done shall be told in memory of her.
Judas, come back.
No, no. Peter, you can argue as long as you like. I'm not going back.
But Judas, the rebuke, as you call it, was not for you alone. Some of the others were asking the same question about the ointment.
Were you, Peter?
As a matter of fact, I was about to say something.
But you thought better of it, I suppose.
Judas, you know I have asked impulsive questions many times, and the Master has chided me, much more severely than he did you.
I find that hard to believe. You, whom he gave the keys of the kingdom?
Then it was I was rebuked most severely of all. Judas, you will recall, right after that, he said that he must be put to death. and on the third day rise again.
Yes. Yes, I remember.
I took him aside and I told him that it could never happen to him. Meaning, of course, that with a word he could rout his enemies and save himself.
What did he say?
He practically called me Satan. Said I was a scandal to him. So come back, Judas.
Strange how he dwells on death. Just now he said the ointment was for his burial.
These remarks trouble all of us. But, Judas, the master is sorely troubled these days, too. Don't make things harder for him.
Very well, Peter. Go in. I'll come later. Give me time to calm down.
Come soon, Judas.
He keeps saying he must be put to death. It is for my burial. He makes one feel as if it's all preordained, and his promise cannot be kept unless he dies. Then one of us, perhaps the one he calls the devil, must see to it that what is foretold must come to pass. If I were to go to the high priest and tell him where Jesus could be found, and they put him to death, it would not be death, but a sleep from which he would arise.
And the tempter walked with Judas as he made his way to the house of the high priest, where a number of the elders had gathered to plot how they could put Jesus to death.
We must seize him quietly and at night, lest a riot break out and the Romans use it as an excuse to destroy our nation. Once in our hands, we'll summon the Sanhedrin for a quick trial. See who comes at this hour.
Tell them it is Judas Iscariot, a disciple of Jesus.
Bring that man here. Why have you come, Judas Iscariot?
What are you willing to give me for delivering him to you?
The price was fixed long ago.
How much?
We will assign you 30 pieces of silver.
The price of a slave.
Oh, so you know the law is written in Exodus.
Wherein if an ox gore and kill a slave, its owner must pay at once 30 shekels as damages. Yes, I know the law, but I also know the value you set on Jesus.
But the danger this man's brought upon our nation, you as a patriotic citizen should have come long ago, and for nothing.
Nothing? For a man you deem worthy of death?
Consider this. Isn't it expedient that one man die rather than the nation perish?
And then if the fate of the nation rests with him, why shouldn't I have more for the delivery of him?
We go by the law. Here is the money. Certain other men have indicated they're willing to deliver Jesus. However, since you're here first, we're ready to deal with you.
Others?
Why not? If you're here, why should you be surprised others may be thinking the same as you? Now, either take the money or leave us.
Give me the money.
Not so fast. You'll not take the money and forget the bargain.
And depend on it. If I can't keep the bargain, I'll return the money.
Then take it and go. And remember, the time is short.
Amen. Amen, I say to you. One of you will betray me.
Lord, is it I?
Is it I?
He who dips his hand into the dish with me, he will betray me. It were better for that man if he had not been born.
Is it I, Rabbi?
Thou hast said it.
Hail, Rabbi.
Judas, dost thou betray the Son of Man with a kiss?
I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God.
I am.
You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?
He is liable to death.
Put him to death.
To death. To death.
condemned to death. At last I know the truth. Who he is and who I am. I, the devil among the 12. And he, the Christ. For the price of a slave I sold him, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Oh, Lord, how sorry I am now.
Be gone, Judas. Our business is finished.
Take back the money. I've sinned in betraying innocent blood.
What is that to us? See to it thyself.
You must take it back.
What you sold, you cannot now buy back.
Cursed be the day I was born!
And the tempter who had come to Jesus in the wilderness was in Judas and stifled the repentance that was struggling in Judas' soul.
Lost. Now I am lost forever. If I could go to him and ask forgiveness. But no. No, he cannot forgive me. My crime is too much to ask forgiveness. Better never to be born. It's too late for that. But I can end the life that made vomit of the bread of life. And in my heart agreed with those who turned from him, because his was a hard saying.
Then Judas hanged himself with a halter. And because he despaired of Jesus' forgiveness, this iniquity offended Jesus more than the betrayal. When Judas was dead, Satan left him and made his presence felt among those who were looking with scorn on the fallen Christ because he was too weak to carry his cross and were saying that if he were the Son of God, he would not suffer the humilities heaped upon him since his arrest. Satan now knew for certain that Jesus was the Son of God and that he would die, but he no longer rejoiced, for he knew that when Christ died, many would believe in him, and his suffering would become strength for the ages to come.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymoor for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymoor, attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need, please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymoor, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.